Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I would like to introduce Carolyn Kroll, who will be bringing the word to us this morning. Carolyn is our unit supervisor. She also pastors in Cranbrook with her husband, Ed. They pastor the Foursquare Church in Cranbrook. Carolyn is very loved here at Cornerstone, and I also consider her to be a very good and very dear friend. And so would you please welcome Carolyn this morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again, always. Ed and I often talk about you, my husband Ed and I. You sure mean a lot to us. We have so many roots and foundational moments with the Foursquare Church in Calgary we're so grateful for. And for me personally, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I would not be pastoring, working in ministry were it not for the foundations laid so many years ago in my youth and young adult years under the leadership of this church. So it's a wonderful thing always to be back here. And so today as we get started, I'm going to invite you to navigate to Joshua chapter 3 because we're going to land there in a little bit. But one of the things is 50 is a word that resonates with me that happened to me this year. That big 5-0. And so it means that those years as a teen and a young adult, they were so very long ago. And so many things have happened since. My life has changed significantly. I've gotten married, have 4 sons, have a number of granddaughters, and another granddaughter on the way this month. So yeah. So we're anticipating that. And as we prepare for that arrival, I feel like there's a proud parenting moment that happened there, that maybe I said something right in the years of parenting or did something right. Because my kids, my oldest son and daughter-in-law, as they prepared to welcome their third daughter, they recognized something, that they live in a very small 2-bedroom basement suite in Surrey. And so they recognized that with this new arrival, they were going to need to make some room for this baby. At no point did they say, you know what, we're in a tiny little basement suite, so let's give the baby to the neighbor to take care of. They didn't say that, so I'm very proud. This is my proud parenting moment. Neither did they say, you know what, there's just not enough room. Why don't we put the baby in the car overnight and we'll like put a baby monitor out there, maybe a little heater or something, make sure there's a bottle nearby and that should be good. They didn't say they're going to put the baby outside. You know, we've got a little like porch area that's kind of covered from the rain that's constant, and so we could put the baby there. They didn't say any of those things. What they did say is we need to make room for this baby. We need to rearrange our household to make sure that this new baby has space and that there's a place for her. And so they came up with some very creative ideas about switching rooms around and exchanging rooms with the kids so that there's a bigger room for the 3 girls and they'll have the smaller room and that kind of a thing. And so it's a very clever idea. And we do the same. We've done the same with our 4 boys. They've moved out. They've moved back in. They've moved out. They've moved back in. Moved out. Moved. You get the picture. And each time that's happened, we've rearranged our house once again and made room. When the kids were little, we would make room depending on their ages and stages and what was going on in our household. We raised them for 9 years in a 3-bedroom apartment in Surrey. Space was tight. And so we would consistently find ways to make room for them. Recently, sometimes making room involves improving space. So recently we have a guest room and we decided that the best way to have guests comfortably was to remove the queen size bed and put a king size bed in there. So we now have a king size bed in our guest room. We now have a king-size bed in our guest room. And Cranbrook's just a 4-hour drive from here. And it's really quite beautiful. There's lots of recreational activities and stuff, so you're welcome to come visit. It's quite a comfortable bed. Our adult children came last week for Easter, tested it out, and said that was a good choice, Mom and Dad. But the thing is as we put in this new bed, we took out the old bed. We're very clever that way. We thought, we cannot possibly fit a queen-size bed and a king-size bed into this room. We should move out the old bed and put in the new bed, and this will be good. We needed to make room for the new bed. Otherwise, the room would have been much too cluttered and full. There would be no room for people, no room for movement. I've seen those rooms, you know, where you shove a king-size bed into a little tiny room and people jump through the doorway to get into bed because there's no room. We didn't want that. Would you agree with me that sometimes in life we need to make room? That sometimes our lives have a way of getting cluttered? That sometimes we attempt to push yet another thing into a room or another thing into a space? We just keep adding furniture to the rooms of our world, our minds and our hearts, until it feels like there's no room to move. There's no room for anything more to take place. Lots has been said in our culture about living minimally. It's probably a term you're familiar with. Perhaps you're familiar with Marie Kondo and getting rid of what doesn't bring us joy. And yet, like the junk drawer in our kitchen or the closet down the hall or the garage or that crawl space, things have a way of accumulating. And after a while, you find yourself looking in those spaces going, there's no room. I cannot fit another thing in this drawer. Or I cannot even get my hand in the drawer to take something out. I can't fit another thing in this space. And when clutter accumulates that way, it makes those spaces unfit for use and unfit for movement. And so this morning, I'm giving us the invitation to declutter, to make room. Isaiah 54, verses 2 to 3, I'm going to read this to you from the Message. It says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. Essentially here, the Message, of course, is to Israel, and it's saying make room. But make room for what? When we talk about making room this morning, are we just making room for more things? Or are we making room for something different? And I believe this morning the Holy Spirit is asking us to make room for new things, for new promises, for new works of God in our lives. And this was reflected in the New Testament as the Jews, who were accustomed to following the law, had to make room for a new way of doing things. They had to make room for Messiah. They had to make room for grace, which is where Luke writes, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skin. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But unfortunately, the response from the Jews was often, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say in verse 38. I don't want that to be my heart when it comes to things that the Holy Spirit's saying, it's time to declutter, it's time to make room. I don't want to say, you know what, things are fine as they are. But I want to say, yes, God, I want to make room for everything that you want to do in my life. There's a pattern of sorts that we see in Scripture of making room, particularly in some of the Old Testament narratives that happened before significant works of God. So that's where we're going to pick up in Joshua chapter 3 this morning, verses 1 through 6. Says this, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. So we have this instructions, here's how things are going to roll out. And then there's this admonishment. Joshua tells the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. We're jumping down, to verse 15 there, just to kind of give you the full picture of the story and what took place. It was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water flowed below that point to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. So this mighty work of God, but prior to this mighty work of God, Israel was told to purify themselves. It was in essence the action of making room for what God was purposing to do among them. And now this act of purifying themselves, it meant that they were to cleanse their bodies and their clothes with washing, the sprinkling of blood. They were to anoint themselves with oil and abstain from normal pleasures like food and marital relations to focus themselves and set themselves right before God. They were coming before Yahweh Most Holy, and there was not room for sin or clutter. He was saying, make room. In essence, we see God ask this of his people earlier in Exodus 19 before the giving of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 19, 10 to 11, the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them. That's that word purify. Purify. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day. For on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai and all the people watch. Clear out the clutter, shift your focus, make room, get ready, for God is going to move. Now, there's a place here we can get caught, because they were to purify themselves from sin and unholy things to make room for God to move, to stand before the Lord Most Holy, pure and blameless. And we just celebrated and acknowledged communion this morning because we already stand before the Lord pure and blameless. So I want to make that clear. But the truth is, life has a way of having us pick stuff up along the way. And clutter has a way of making its way into our hearts and our minds and our world. So is it us who gets rid of the things that clutter our lives, or is it God? And I want to say to you this morning, I believe it's both. Because what we're talking about here is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And that's a partnership between us and God. There's a New Testament example. Actually, I'm going to talk just for a moment about sanctification. It's not working for our salvation. That's not what sanctification is. That was already accomplished. This is about clearing the clutter and the debris to make greater capacity for the work of God in our lives. Paul says it this way in Ephesians, and this verse demonstrates the partnership between us and the Holy Spirit. This is from Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We are to put off things of the sinful nature. We are to put off, get rid of clutter, get rid of things that crowd in, and we are to put on our new nature. And it says this happens, this renewal takes place in our hearts as we learn to know God, as we sit at his feet, as we take time. However, what happens is when things are cluttered, sometimes we fail to do that, right? It gets hard. But I'm so busy. But there's so much going on. You just don't understand. And the Lord is calling us to his feet to be renewed there so that we can move out the old and make room for the new. So as we learn to know God, the Holy Spirit convicts and points out places in our lives that have been overrun. Things we've been hanging on to, things we've been hoarding. It's like a spiritual moving company, if you will. So when I say that we moved a king-size bed into our guest room, I did not move the bed by myself. I employed, not even employed, but employed the help of two good individuals, strong, capable, my husband and my son. And I supervised. Actually, I helped some. I got the bed sheets, told them where I wanted it. You know, we measured the room by going, yeah, I think it'll fit. We didn't actually take a tape measure, but thankfully it did. So two people much better at moving heavy furniture, building the frame, partnered with me in the work to move out the old and bring in the new. So we have this partnership with the Holy Spirit. We don't do this by ourselves. We don't go, I'm just gonna get rid of anger. Because if you've ever tried that, you'd know it doesn't work. We really need the renewing power of the Holy Spirit to say, you know, this is an area, God, I acknowledge that is not okay in my life, and I want to work with you. Now, there could be things the Holy Spirit asks us to do. If perhaps the thing we struggle with is maybe an overindulgence in chocolate, that's just an example. I'm not saying Scripture says anything about that right now. I'm just giving an example. Then the Holy Spirit may indicate us, you need to stay away from that. You need to make sure it's not in your house. You need to make sure you don't live within walking distance of a store that sells an abundance of chocolate, right? So there's a partnership that takes place between us and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads and directs, this is how you're going to make room, and then we walk in obedience. So what is the clutter that so often gets in the way? First of all, I believe one of the challenges we live with is a cluttered world. And by that, I mean the externals. I mean our schedule. I mean busyness. I mean expectations that we place on ourselves or that we feel others have placed on us. Things that keep us busy, overcrowded, without room to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it's likely something we've heard of, this whole we're an overscheduled society. It's probably not a new concept. But as we have awareness, I think like anything that needs to be cleaned out, we need to revisit it often. I would say about every 6 months, I have to readjust my schedule and make room once again because things have a way of accumulating. Things have a way of crowding in, and suddenly I'm going, why am I going at this pace? What happened? Where did I pick these things up? Holy Spirit, help me understand where I'm trying to say yes when I need to be saying no. I was reading a book recently on healthy rhythms, and they were talking about how before the invention of the light bulb, people would do the majority of their work in daytime hours. So they would rise with the sun, do their work, and go to bed when it was dark. And I was thinking of that, and I thought, what would that look like today if we did that? And there was a little bit of panic. I was like, how would you do that in the winter? There would not be enough time. I would have to adjust a whole lot of things. And then I thought in the summer, you wouldn't get enough sleep because the daylight hours are so long. What about people in Whitehorse, Simon and Zoe? How do you do that? You'd be awake like all day. An interesting thing, last Easter weekend when our kids were visiting, we were chatting and somehow we got on the topic of what if we didn't have to sleep. And I think it was like a would you rather kind of thing, would you rather have 24 hours or would you rather sleep all day or something. And pretty much unanimously, we all voted to get rid of sleep. Yeah. And when we talked about why we would want that, the resounding thing we all said is so we could do more. None of us said, that would be great, then I could go on a vacation, then I could sit by the lake, then I could put my feet up. We're all like, oh, then I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this. Not extra rest, not extra room, but let's see what we can add in. And the thing is, God is asking us to clear the clutter away, to make room for the things that have accumulated in our external world. And the reality is, when we do that, we make room for sanctuary. And sanctuary is maybe not a word we use a lot. The way I've seen it is, it's that space under the stairs in a hotel where you're supposed to go if there's any big disaster or whatever, and it's like, it's a place of sanctuary. Doesn't look very inviting, but it's a refuge. It's a safe place. It's freedom from the constant pressures of our world. When we begin to clear away some of the external clutter in our lives. One of our sons struggled significantly when he was younger with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And so when he would go to school, he would do fairly well. And the teachers would go, you know what, he's doing okay. I don't think you need to take any measures or anything. And then he would come home and he would fall apart. And home was chaos, and home was frantic, and home was emotions up here and down there. And we were trying to figure out what was going on. And we talked to his pediatrician, and they said, you know, the thing is when he's at school, there's expectations, big expectations on how he's to behave, and how he's to be attentive, and how he's to function. But when he gets home, there's permission to crash. There's sanctuary there. He can just let it all out and just be. Less expectations, less schedule, less busy when he came home. There's a scripture in Luke 10. It's a familiar story about Mary and Martha. And it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? But the Lord said to her, and then she said, tell her to come and help me. And the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, it wasn't bad what Martha was doing to serve and be hospitable and do those things, but Jesus was encouraging times to make space, to make room for him to sit at his feet. God offers to us a refuge, a safe haven, a sanctuary, a place where we can just let it all go, and we don't have to show up weighted by expectations, showing up in a certain behavior. We can come to the Lord and pour out our hearts before him. Even as we heard this morning from Psalm 22, as David poured his heart out before the Lord. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. I've so often, you know, read the words about rest and heavy burden and just kind of went on. And these words have in recent years really captured my heart. Let me teach you. Let me show you what belongs in your world and what doesn't. And it will be so much easier. And it says, because I am gentle, humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest or sanctuary for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you his light. God wants to teach us how to navigate the externals, removing the clutter that keeps us from sitting at his feet in sanctuary and being taught by him. The other thing that often gets cluttered is our minds. Lies, wounds, unclear thinking, negative self-talk, faulty beliefs, disappointments, grief, loss, the things that, I don't know, does anyone here have trouble shutting their mind off like me? Yeah, does it just go and go and go and you're like, there's like a whole conference happening up there in my head. The things our minds tell us, the times we buy into our own voice or the enemy's voice on life's perspectives. We spend so much time talking to ourselves. Here's a few helpful notes from the internet about talking to yourself. Don't be concerned if you talk to yourself. Just be real concerned if you interrupt your own conversation. One advantage of talking to yourself is at least you know someone is listening. Wow, that's kind of a downer. If you see me talking to myself, just move along. I'm self-employed and we're having a staff meeting. Talking to myself means I can get expert advice. Or, last one, I just had a talk with myself and things didn't go well. Now I'm grounded. We cannot be trusted, and neither can the devil, the father of lies. We need to make room for God's truth, for God's voice to take precedence in our minds, for his voice to be the resounding thing that we hear. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God knew that we would need our minds renewed. And it's a continuous action, not a one-time thing. We don't come once and go, my mind's renewed, it's good. Or we're moving forward. But it's this continual renewal. There's a book I've been reading recently, Praying Like Monks and Living Like Fools. And it's an invitation to the wonder and mystery of prayer. And he says this at one point in regards to prayer. When we stop moving, stop talking, and arrive present and quiet before God, he takes all our disordered desires, distorted attachments, and codependencies, and transforms them in his love. God wants to make room for his healing, where lies, wounds, unclear thinking, negative self-talk, disappointments, and those things exist. I was recently praying into a situation, and maybe you've experienced this too. And I was praying, God, I want you to fix this. I want you to fix this thing in my life. It was an external thing. And just make it go away and make it what we want it to be. And as I was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening, he's like, I want to fix you first. I want to fix your thinking on the matter before I fix the thing. Because if I fix the thing and I don't fix your thinking, the thing is going to come back. And so often I think we rush ahead and we're trying to fix things in our world and God's like, I want to renew your thinking on this. I want to give you a new perspective. I want to heal you in that area. Psalm 103 verses 3-5, I was reading this recently. It says, he, Yahweh, forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. And I was stuck on that for a little bit because I tend to read that and think of physical diseases. Yeah, God, you heal all our diseases. And God's saying, I heal the diseases that sin has planted in your mind as well. The distorted thinking, as we've been talking about. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. When we make room for God by letting him clear the clutter that has accumulated in our minds, we make room for his healing. We make room for him to give us new perspective. Last one I want to talk to you this morning about is a cluttered heart. And as I was praying about this, the thing that was greatly impressed on me is that has to do with idols, enticements that pull our hearts away from God, unholy attachments to things. In Genesis 35, we have Jacob returning to Bethel. And God says to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in the house, get rid of all your pagan idols, purify yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave to Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them under the great tree near Shechem. Sorry, I'm just seeing for the first time pagan idols and earrings. That's an interesting connection that bears some more research for sure. Maybe Brian knows a little something about that. And he buried them under the great tree near Shechem. As they set out, a terror from God spread over the people and all the towns of that area, so no one attacked Jacob's family. Isn't it interesting that the people of God, now I don't know if all the people in the household were people of God, but we have Jacob and potentially his wife, they needed to get rid of their pagan idols. That somehow over a period of time, these things had accumulated in their household. And before they were to proceed and before they were to move, they had to get rid of those things. To me, it says that it's likely we need to do the same today. That we have likely picked up unholy attachments along the way. 1 John 5:21 says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." So what does this look like? What are the things that are taking place or taking God's place in your heart? And I was thinking of that. I thought mine can easily be plans. I'm a planner. I have my plans. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to do it. And God has been teaching me to diligently seek him with regard to my plans, to inquire of the Lord. And it's not that he doesn't want me to plan or he thinks I'm incapable of planning, but he's saying, would you submit your things to me? And when my plans become inflexible, or I'm unwilling to submit to his kingdom purposes, there's an issue. There's an unholy attachment that's developed when I selfishly cling to what I want instead of what he wants. And so when those things happen, really, what we need to do in response is confession. To say, God, I'm sorry. I hang on to my plans too tightly, and sometimes I make them without even checking with you first. God, I confess this to you. And God, would you help me to be a person who comes to you and inquires of you and doesn't lean on my own understanding? And as we confess those things to him and remove those idols, we make room for the purposes of God in our lives. And when we make room for God by letting him clear the clutter in our hearts, we make room for forgiveness and we make room for freedom. Last week, I had the opportunity to take some time out of the office to make room. I do that periodically. I go somewhere and bring some books and take some time to just sit at the feet of Jesus. And I'm thankful that my schedule permits time to do that. And it was interesting because the clutter I came across in my own life, I wasn't even aware of fully. And it had been there too long. There were some attitudes. There were some misconceptions. There were some wounds from recent events that needed to be sorted out and removed from the spaces in my heart and mind, and even some spaces in my schedule that I wasn't using well. And as I sat with God and I allowed him to clean things up, and there was room to hear his voice, I asked him for clarity on what to do next, and he said, "Don't wait so long. Don't wait until you have this big block of time and bring to me a room that's overrun with debris. Carolyn, you can come to me day by day and bring these things to me and I will take the clutter out and make room for what I want to do." And as I sat with Jesus and made room, those places where I felt blocked or stuck or like there was a lack of movement, they were cleared away. And so the invitation exists for all of us today to make room. Whether or not we can go away with a few books and a notebook and sit at the feet of Jesus, or whether we just have 5 minutes in our morning or our evening, Jesus is saying, would you bring your clutter to me and don't let it build? Would you bring those things to me before the room gets so cluttered you can't move? And let's address it. The invitation for us is to come day by day. Psalm 148 says, "The Lord is close to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." We find in God a place of sanctuary. We find in God a place of healing. We find in God a place of freedom and forgiveness when we make room, a place to pour out our hearts before him. I'm going to invite the team to come, and there's some other things we're going to do before we completely wrap up. But there's a quote I came across as I was preparing, and it said, "We can't embrace new things if we hoard old things." So today I ask you the question, what is cluttering up your world? What is cluttering up your mind, your heart? What needs to be addressed and removed today to make room for new things? How do we make room? I think it's an honest inventory before the Holy Spirit. It's saying, Jesus, would you look at this space? Sometimes things have been in our space for so long, we don't even see the clutter. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me in the path of everlasting life." I want to invite you this morning to ask, God, what is cluttering up my world, my mind, my heart? And God, what is the step that you want me to take today to make room? Is it confession that he's asking from you? Is it acknowledgement that, God, I've let this thing overrun the space in my heart? Is it a change that he's asking you to make? And so I want to invite you as we proceed and do some ministry time and closing song, and there'll be some further instructions to do an inventory, to allow God to do an inventory and to make room. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." And so I want to encourage you just to begin already to allow the Holy Spirit to almost shine a holy flashlight in the places in your heart. I want to just pray for you, and then I'm going to invite Shauna to come, and she's going to talk about making room for Jesus for the very first time in our hearts. Would you go ahead and just bow your heads? Let's come before the Lord. Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you for your invitation to come to you. God, we thank you that you have promised to make room. God, in places where we've accumulated debris and clutter, whether it be sin or busyness or just all the stuff that our world sets before us and that we are so often quick to embrace. God, I pray today for people to receive sanctuary. Lord, for people who are feeling overwhelmed by the things going on in the world, I pray for sanctuary this morning. God, I pray that you would move things out of the way. God, that you would open up places in their schedules, that you would open up places in the things that they are carrying, Lord, that there would be room to sit at your feet. God, I pray for healing today. Lord, for places where our minds have picked up lies of the enemy or self-talk, things that we've said to ourselves that aren't true. God, I pray that you would speak your truth. God, as we move out the old, you promised to bring the new, and we want to embrace the new. We want to embrace a new way of thinking and be renewed and transformed by your Holy Spirit today. And Lord, I pray for forgiveness and freedom. That God, if there's any place in our hearts where we've allowed things to take the place of you, that God, you would root them out gently. I know you're so gentle when you do that. But God, we would acknowledge those things and confess them to you, and you would show us a new and better way. God, bring forgiveness to us today and bring freedom in the mighty name of Jesus.
Well, this morning, Mark told us that he was at prison ministry on Thursday night, and he was with a group of men who were really hardened men. They were criminals. They were in prison, and they were unruly, and they didn't want to listen at first until Mark began to share the scriptures with them. And as the scriptures were read, their hearts began to open up, and they began to realize their need for Jesus. And every one of those hardened criminals that evening gave their life to Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online, and you've never considered your own eternity. Maybe you've never considered your own need for God. But you've been listening to this message today, and there are no coincidences. If you are listening, if you're here today or listening online today, God is calling you. And maybe today it's time for you to consider your own eternity. There are two destinations when we leave this life. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and it is eternal. And if you haven't given consideration to that yet, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." There is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You must be born again." And if you haven't made that decision for Jesus Christ yet, today is the day. If God is speaking to you today, if there is a stirring in your heart today, don't turn away. Today is the day of salvation. And then Carolyn shared a message about cluttered lives, and sometimes our lives can become so cluttered that we just sort of maybe edge out the things of God. And maybe you're a person, again, here today or watching online, who has had a relationship with Jesus Christ, who has walked with the Lord through the years, but somehow life just became cluttered. And as more clutter was added, the things of God were edged out, and somewhere along the way, you just stopped following. But you're ready to rededicate your life to Him today. And if that's you today, you can do that as we say this prayer. So I am going to pray a prayer. And if you are in need of God today, rededicating your life or coming to Him for the first time, as I pray this prayer, just pray it along with me in your heart, out loud, whatever is right for you. Just say this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. God draws near to you. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. He will not refuse anybody who comes to Him in faith. And so if you prayed that prayer today, welcome to the family of God. That is all it takes, is to confess your sins, to admit that you are a sinner, to confess, to ask God to forgive you, and then to believe that He has forgiven you. And if you prayed that prayer today, that's just the beginning. Nobody walks with Jesus alone. We walk together. And so if you prayed that prayer today, reach out to us, to the church, to Pastor Barry or Pastor Chris. Let us rejoice with you. Let us celebrate with you in this new life that you have chosen. Let us support you and help you, and we welcome you into the family of God.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.